This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Catherine Larson traveled throughout the world as an opera singer.
And the gates just opened, and you could see this estate beyond, and it was incredible. This woman had me singing for the granddaughter of the Guggenheim, doing private concerts at her home, and I was passed around through several families in Florence and taken to places I could never imagine.
Were you able to proclaim your faith at this point?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. From this point, then, I went on to do several operas like Turandot and Aida and Madame Butterfly and Tosca, but eventually got into the sacred music. So I was really focused on doing the sacred pieces, like the Brahms Requiem, things like that. So.
I can see the book now. I Hated God. How that changed.
Absolutely.
You hated God for killing your fiancé the night before your wedding when you were how old?
The night after we got engaged, the night of our engagement.
Oh, yeah. And how old were you?
I was 23, yeah.
So young. And it broke your heart, and you became, instead of becoming, you just became embittered, and the root of bitterness.
Well, and then I tried to get married later, you know, that's why. And then God said, no, we're going to make you into a singer. I'm going to use you as a singer. So,
this man, but there's a big lesson here, because you were totally horrible human being to this man who you knew
terrible.
Was a Christian, and that's why you hated him, because he believed in God. From the moment he stepped in and you were his boss, or he worked under you, and you were determined to, you embarrassed him in front of all the other employees,
right.
and he comes in and says, you, and it, with tears in his eyes,
what can
and
I
you,
do?
For and you, you said, he said, this must be a very weak man, and he says, for you, I've never been treated that so horribly in all my life as an adult. You must be terribly in great pain to treat someone that way. Can I help you? And
that's the love of Christ.
And the rock around your heart
fell
off, shattered.
That is the love of Christ. And I asked him actually later why it took him 10 minutes to come in to speak with me. And he said, I was praying to God, asking him what I should say to you, because he said, I needed this job so badly. I have a wife and children, and I knew you were going to fire me. He said, I knew you were attacking me to get rid of me. And he said, everything was on the line, and God told me what to say. And I said, Cleto, if you'd said anything other than what you said, I would have fired you. You said exactly the right things. You showed me the love of Christ.
Yeah, but it's amazing that your heart was receptive.
Well, God knows the time.
I mean, you had this rocky, solid heart of bitterness.
Yeah.
And yet he said, instead of judging you, this is a lesson for Christians out there. We are to be in service of others. We are to have the nobility of Christ. We are to give dignity to others. He came in and dignified you.
And, you know, years later, we found each other after I'd started my ad agency and been an opera singer for many years. He found me on Facebook and reconnected with me. And I told him, I said, I'm alive because of you. I was on a really terrible path.
Sure.
You saved my life.
You were addicted to cocaine.
He said, you were the only one that I ever witnessed to, the only one that I ever led to Christ in my life. He said, I feel like a failure. Even my own daughter rejects Christ. And I said, Cleto, you have no idea how many times I've told your story. You have no idea the thousands of people that have been affected by what you said to me and what you did in my life. So never, ever underestimate your impact. You think it's one person you've affected. No.
How about the guy that brought Billy Graham to the Lord? Never knew that he brought this young student
exactly. to the Lord. Exactly.
You know? So he must have rejoiced at this knowledge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's passed now. He's still as a friend on my Facebook page, but he's no longer with us. Yeah.
Wow.
What a wonderful man. I'll see him again.
Well, you were able to tell him that he did this.
Oh, yeah. I told him I loved him.
And you know what? If we live this life, I posted something last Christmas, and this lady out in the Midwest, I don't know who she was, mother, married, I don't know who she is really, and she said, I had posted that I'd never believed in Jesus and that I'd finally came to a place where I prayed to him. Okay, I'm 29. I heard all these Jesus freaks. Okay, I believe you died on the cross and rose from the dead. Nothing happens. And then finally I said, okay, I believe you died on the cross. And I said, I'm a fool not to live with God. God, you made me God. So I said, okay, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins by faith, and you rose from the dead, and I surrender the rest of my life to you. Boom. That's when heaven opened up, and I sat in my rocking chair in my little ghetto apartment in Troy, New York, and I went, wow, you're real. And I instantly knew this is why people did drugs, because that was the counterfeit. People were really seeking right. the Godhead. And I was gloriously born again, man. And so this lady said, she said, I did what you told me to do this Christmas. And I said, I surrender. And she said, waves of peace came over me. And it was the greatest Christmas gift maybe I've ever gotten in my life. I said, if I brought one person, if all of us, if any of us have brought one person, it says, all of creation rejoices.
Yep.
All of heaven rejoices when one soul is redeemed. Imagine if this is just not words or drama, but this is true.
Yeah, it is true.
When he brought you to the Lord, all of heaven rejoiced. When this lady came to know the Lord because I wrote that, I went, wow, maybe my life has been of value, because I'm the same way. I feel like, what have I done, you know?
You know, I was on Facebook looking at the Bach Tower Gardens and how Bach, the statement that he made, and I'll just have to paraphrase it because I don't know it exactly, but basically that your purpose in life should be to make the world a better place, to bring beauty into the world. And that's everything in my heart from that moment that I accepted him has been about that. It completely flipped me upside down. So I wasn't about myself anymore, but about everything that I could bring into this world. So I use my talents now as an artist and as a singer. My biggest responsibility is to use them well, to make sure that they're uplifting people. Like, I would never paint a flaming skull on a wall, you know. That's not the kind of art that I do. I do art that brings joy to people and alleviates pain, hopefully. And the same thing with the singing.
Well, you're a fine artist.
I'm a fine artist, yeah.
And ironically, I recorded up. I didn't know you lived in Indiana, so you know Bill Gaither and Pinebrook Studios. That's where I recorded my first songs. Sandy Patty's brother sang back up on my recordings.
Sandy Patty, really?
Yeah.
Sandy Patty's brother. That's cool.
So that's amazing. So, well, I hope someday that we can maybe. I believe the future has where the Lord has told me that we're going to be. I think there's a time coming when people will enter the presence of God, just like that awakening that happened at that church up in Kentucky. That a time is coming, and it won't necessitate preaching or man, but the presence of God will inhabit the true praises of his people. Personally, not to be critical, but there's a lot of showbiz going on in churches. It's not my business to be critical. My Father has not sent me to judge, so I'm not going to judge anybody. I'm here to love and give dignity and carry his nobility if possibly, because he's only the true royalty. You know, I've often wondered, tell me this. You know how they say the people in the South, the Carolinas, Georgia, whatever, are very polite and have manners, but they also call that the Bible Belt. Well, doesn't that reflect God's goodness that where his presence is, people are a little more godly and mannerly, which gives glory to God?
Absolutely.
See that? That's real royalty. Man's royalty. Yeah. Blue bloods. First of all, blue blood is someone who's inbred by them. People don't know that. Blue bloods. Well, I hope you're not.
Well, that's why I'm down here. I mean, there's a definite difference in the people, particularly the people that are native to this area. There's way more per capita, I think, Christians than there are certainly up in Michigan where I'm from. And there's just a different mindset, because I can talk about God here and I don't get sidelined for it, unless there's somebody that's of a different mindset. It's come maybe from another area and is a transplant here or transient here.
Well, you know, there are other parts of Florida. We have more Fortune 500 retired CEOs in the zip code 32963 than any zip code in the United States, I've been told. Retired CEOs. Okay. Down south of here, we have Palm Beach. A lot of that money is inherited, which brings with it usually arrogance instead of, you know, whereas people who earn it tend to have humility. And here, you know, you don't really see you might see one Rolls Royce in the season. You might see Bentleys. You see a whole lot of Mercedes. But it's a very affluent community, but it's not a garish, in-your-face type of wealth like they have down in the Palm Beaches, you know. And these people who have earned this, the CEOs that have gone through the process, usually have a thread of humility because it takes teachability, humility, and you get beat up and before you're successful. And so with that comes that humility. And I think that the reason you find that here is that even the people that have the wealth, it does not, hopefully, most of the time, does not isolate them.
Well, also, you know, it's the gifts of the world. The gifts of the world, the world gives you is not the same as what God gives you. And I had the benefit of seeing all the gifts that the other side can give you and finding that it left me empty. Yeah. I was extremely wealthy as a young woman. And it and I was
from the
empty.
Ad agency?
No, from being with that company out in Arizona. I mean, I was very blessed. I had a beautiful home at the base of Camelback Mountain with swimming pool and every. I had tons of friends who were drug friends and things.
Yeah, yeah.
I had more money than I knew what to do
and
with.
And you were miserable.
I had five cars. You know, I had a car for everything, Jeep and truck and, a convertible and an old antique car and then my fancy car that I took to places. They flew me all over the country. You know, I did trade shows everywhere. I was very well taken care of by the dark side. And that's what brought me to that point where I was with Cleto. I was a miserable person. Miserable. So I think that, if you're given everything, you find the emptiness in that. And I think that's a gift. Because otherwise you're always seeking that. You're always looking, okay, maybe if I had this much money, I'd be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got that much money, and I wasn't happy. I was miserable with everything that the world has to offer because there's always a God-shaped hole in your heart.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.